Turn for our reading from God's Word this morning to the book of Deuteronomy. Turn firstly to Deuteronomy in chapter 32 and the first verse. We shall then read a few verses from chapter 33 and then a short reading from the book of Isaiah in chapter 44. So firstly, Deuteronomy chapter 32, reading from the first verse. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of grey hairs. I said, I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000, and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me, and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you, and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. We turn now to chapter 33. Just two short passages. 33 verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded as a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. And then towards the end of that same chapter, from verse 26, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. And thou shalt tread upon their high places. And finally, just a few words from Isaiah chapter 44, from the first verse. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. May the Lord bless to us those portions from his own precious word. We don't have one text this morning from the scriptures, but four. And they're scattered throughout those passages that we read together from the book of Deuteronomy, and then in the 44th chapter of Isaiah. And the four texts, or the four verses I'd like us to consider together this morning are these. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15, we read these words. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Then in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 5 we read, and he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Then in that same chapter and verse 26 we read, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. And in Isaiah 44 and verse 2 we read, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. In these verses before us, we have the only occurrences of that name, Jeshurun, in the scriptures. Three of these occurrences, as we've noticed, are found in the book of Deuteronomy. The first, we find in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15, forms part of the song of Moses, in which Moses sets forth, firstly, the perfections of God, his special goodness to his people. But then their ingratitude and their apostasy. And this is where we find that first reference to Jeshurun. Then Moses goes on to speak of God's displeasure and his vengeance, but then ultimately his mercy toward his people. Now the second and the third occurrences of this name, Jeshurun, we find in Deuteronomy chapter 33. And these form part of the prophecy of Moses, which he uttered just before his death, in which is displayed God's majesty and regard for his people. And it's here that we find the second reference to Jeshurun. And then he speaks of the blessing upon each of the tribes of Israel. And then finally, the excellency of Israel's God and his people under him. And there we have a third reference to Jeshurun. And then that fourth reference we find is in Isaiah chapter 44. Now the spelling here is slightly different. In our English version, it's Jeshurun, but without the H. But it's the same Hebrew word. This forms part of a prophecy wherein God comforts his church with gracious promises. So it's this name Jeshurun that I'd like us to consider together this morning, and its significance in the scriptures. Each of these cases, Jeshurun is used by the Lord as a poetic or a symbolic name for his people Israel. And there's some uncertainty as to what the name Jeshurun actually means. Some suggest that it means supremely happy or prosperous, being derived from a Hebrew root signifying to be blessed. Others suggest that it's derived from a root that means to be right or upright. But what is absolutely clear is that this name is used as a term of special endearment by God for his people. Now, if you look at the context in each of these four references to Jeshurun, I would suggest that the former suggestion is perhaps more likely, for in each case there is a clear reference to Jeshurun being a blessed people who certainly ought to be supremely happy as a result of the favour which God has graciously bestowed upon them. Now, looking at each of these references to Jeshurun in turn, I'd like us to consider together this morning four particular things. Firstly, Jeshurun's rebellion. Secondly, Jeshurun's king. Thirdly, Jeshurun's saviour. And then fourthly, the foundation of Jeshurun's eternal happiness. Firstly then, Jeshurun's rebellion. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15, we read there, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." Now, as we've said, this verse forms part of the Song of Moses, which begins in verse 1 of this chapter that we read together. In the verses of the song prior to this point, Moses is proclaiming the perfections of God and his special goodness toward his people. Thus we have in verse 4, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Verse 6, in the second part, is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? And then from verse 8 and onwards, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Verse 13, he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. In summary, Moses is saying here, as the Lord's mouthpiece, see how the Lord God, the one who is perfect in all his ways, has made you to be his own peculiar people. Not only has he made you, but he has established you as a people. He set you apart from the other nations round about as his portion. He has led you, he has fed you, abundantly providing for all your needs. But Jeshurun, who stands for Israel, has come to take these things for granted. They have indulged themselves. They have gorged themselves on the abundance of the Lord's provision, such that, as we read here, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Rather than humbly receiving of the Lord's provision and with humble and thankful hearts seeking to serve him and obey him, they became fat and slothful, dull, stupid, careless, senseless. But worse than this, they rebelled against the Lord their God. We're told that Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked, just like the oxen which kicks against the goads rather than ploughing the field. It is then made even plainer. We read, then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. This people, personified by the name of Jeshurun, a people truly blessed and beloved of God, have turned their backs upon him. They gorge themselves upon his provision, but they refuse his instruction, and they will not have him to rule over them. Indeed, we see from the following verses that they turn away from the Lord their God and worship other gods. For instance, in verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. In his wrath, the Lord chastised his people with various judgments. But then he showed mercy to them, such that in the last words of this song of Moses, there we see declared, verse 43, rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Also, the Lord destroyed the enemies of his people, those who had been the instruments of his wrath toward them. Thus we see that though God pours out his wrath upon both his people and their and his enemies, to those enemies it is to their destruction. But to his people it is to provoke them to
to repentance, such that he might show mercy toward them. Oh, if we are his believing people, then God has truly blessed us, even as he blessed his people of old. We are his Jeshurun, his blessed people, those who ought to be supremely happy due to the favour which he has graciously bestowed upon us, and happy also with humble and thankful hearts to serve him with gladness, not to follow after the example of ungrateful Israel. But yet if we do sin, and every one of us we know does, still we know that God is gracious. As we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well then, secondly, we have Jeshurun's king. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 5. And he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Now there are those who suggest that this verse refers to Moses as being king in Jeshurun. However, Moses was never recognized as king in Israel. And indeed, prior to King Saul, who was only appointed at the insistence of the people, Israel was a theocracy. God alone was their king. And really, this is what this verse refers to. What is referred to here is the assembling of the people together at Sinai, when the Lord, as their king, gave them his law, Moses being his servant and messenger in bringing that law to them. Thus, Jeshurun's king is the Lord God Almighty. In this, Jeshurun is greatly blessed, for in this, God, who is indeed sovereign ruler over all things, yet declares himself especially to be the king and sovereign ruler over his saints, those that he has set apart with particular favour. If we read in verse 3 of this chapter, yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. Now we know that the moral law, that which we find in the Ten Commandments in particular, this is universally applicable to all men. But nevertheless, these commands were initially given to Israel, not as some sort of shackle, but such that they might know how God would judge them. What was his standard? Indeed, just as is the case in the New Testament, God gave them his law such that they might see that they could not keep it to perfection and thus gain his favour and acceptance in that way. The Old Testament saints clearly understood this and looked for a saviour, God's Messiah, who would save them. The Apostle Paul's words are just as applicable to Old Testament saints as they are to us in our day and age, when he says, Galatians 3 and verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now we sometimes speak of law and grace. We need to remember that even the law was given in grace, that we might see our need of mercy. So then, if God is our king, our ruler, He whose law we seek to keep, not to earn salvation, but out of humble and thankful hearts, then we are truly a blessed people. His Jeshurun, and ought to be supremely happy. Well, thirdly, we have Jeshurun's Saviour. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. This verse comes after the Lord's specific pronouncements through Moses upon each of the tribes of Israel. And from this verse on to the end of the chapter, we see the Lord exalted as the God of Jeshurun, and in particular as the Saviour of his people. Culminating in verse 29, where we read, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, a people, O people, saved by the Lord." Again, we have this reference to a happy people, those whom the Lord endearingly calls Jeshurun. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. None can compare to him. We have an image here of the Lord riding in his majesty through the skies to the aid of his people, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. And in the following verses it becomes clear that his purpose is their salvation. Verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And that word translated here, refuge, indicates a habitation, a dwelling place, a place of shelter, as well as a place of refuge and protection. And so it is for God's believing people that they find refuge in his dwelling place. The psalmist puts it like this in Psalm 91, verse 1 and onwards. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." As God's believing people, we have a glorious prospect of an eternal habitation in heaven itself. But prior to that, we already have a refuge, a habitation, a dwelling place with God. This is part and parcel of his great work of salvation. He draws us out of our former habitation in the world and into the household of God. As Paul says in Ephesians 2 and verse 19, "Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." To those who are within that household, the Lord affords refuge, protection, rest from all the troubles of this world, and all that would prevent them from reaching their eternal home in glory. And then we have, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Here we have the Lord mighty to save and mighty to keep those that he has saved. Read in Psalm 37, verse 23, and onwards, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." And then we have, "And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." The immediate context here is that Israel were on the very brink of entering into Canaan, the land of promise. And the inhabitants of that land would oppose them. but the Lord would undertake for them, giving them both the command and the strength to drive them out. Likewise, he protects his people in all times against their and his enemies. That is, those who would seek to prevent them from entering into their promised eternal inheritance. Considering all these things, God's people ought indeed to be a happy people. And the Lord declares this in verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Happy are God's people indeed, for God himself is their Saviour. They are a people saved by the Lord, and they are his Jeshurun, the apple of his eye. Well then, fourthly, and finally, we have the foundation of Jeshurun's eternal happiness. We read of this in Isaiah 44 and verse 2. There we read, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Here we have the foundation of the eternal security and thus the eternal happiness of God's people. Those that are his Jeshurun, his blessed people. For here we see that they were his Jeshurun before they were born, before time. He has loved them with an everlasting love. We read here, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. This initially refers to God's creation of Israel, his people of old, is bringing into existence this nation of his choosing. The wider sense is of all his chosen people, his elect in every generation and every nation. Thus the Lord says here in effect, I made you and I formed you into what you now are. And having done this, I will help you. I am the Lord, he says, which will help thee. The Lord does not leave those that he has set his love upon to their own devices, but he helps them. More than this, he ensures that they persevere to the end and receive their eternal inheritance in glory. Thus he says to his believing people, fear not, O Jacob, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. It all began with his choosing, with his determination to save a people by his grace and for his glory. And his whole plan of redemption was founded upon this. It was on this basis that it was agreed within the Godhead that God the Son would take mortal flesh, would become a real man, would walk this earth in perfect obedience to God's holy law, would offer up himself as a perfect and only sacrifice acceptable to God for the sins of men, such that his righteousness, his atoning sacrifice, would be the means of salvation for this people, his Jeshurun. The scriptures make it plain that God formed that plan to save his people from their sins before time. And that which he has begun, he will complete to the eternal happiness of his people and the glory and the honor of his own name. Let us just mention one or two things by way of application of these things. If then we are truly the people of God, if he has saved us by his grace, bringing us to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are blessed indeed, for we are his Jeshurun. the apple of his eye, his blessed people. And we ought indeed to be his happy people. We ought not to be like ancient Israel in taking the Lord's blessings for granted, in murmuring against him, or worse, forsaking him. Though we know that if we are his, we are his forever. We must not be presumptuous, lest we are deceived concerning our true estate. But if we should stumble and backslide, oh, let us be assured that God is gracious and only desires the good of his people. His chastisements are to drive us to repentance. And as we've quoted already, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then if we are the people of God, then the Lord God is our King, our ruler, and our every desire ought to be to obey his law, to honour him in all our ways. For this is the way to true happiness. As the proverb says, Proverbs 29 and verse 18, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We have said that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, but it also gives us a moral compass to direct us in God's paths. The Lord is King, sovereign over all creation, and orders all things to the end of his own glory, but also to the ultimate good of his people, his Jeshurun, his blessed and happy people. Thirdly, if we are the people of God, then the Lord God is our Saviour. And though this includes his provision by way of the atonement for sin made by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, in truth, it is much broader than this. For God's people are his Jeshurun, his beloved people, the apple of his eye. Thus he ensures their salvation from beginning to end. They are his and he is theirs for all eternity. He determined to save them in eternity past. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, paid the price of their redemption. God the Holy Spirit works in them repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and sanctifies them such that they grow in grace. He keeps them from falling and ensures that they arrive safely in their heavenly home. And fourthly, if we are the people of God, then we have great assurance that our salvation is secure because its foundation is in the sovereign choice of Almighty God. And that which he is determined to do, he will never fail to do. We read in Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There is much in this world that can so easily discourage us. We may know times of sorrow. We may know times of trial. But if we are truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation and seeking to honour and to serve him in our lives, then let us fear not. Let us take encouragement from this, for we are of his Jeshurun, his beloved and blessed people, his happy people in eternity. Ought not this to make us his happy people in the here and now? May the Lord, by his grace, make us so to be. Amen.